And Lord, I just thank you for your son, Jesus, who makes that possible, Lord. And I never want to stop thinking about that. And I never want to take that lightly, Lord, that coming into your presence is a privilege that is given to us by grace. And so, Lord, we lift up your son, Jesus, now. And I pray, Lord, as we open up your word that reveals Christ, I pray that you would move in our hearts so that we can see him and to love him deeply, Lord. Because it is from that, Lord, that we can live a life that is freeing to love others and to live sacrificially. And I pray, Lord, that you just bring us into a close relationship with Christ. And I pray now, Lord, that you would bind my mouth wherever it needs to be bound. And I pray that would the words that I say would be honoring to you, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you look on the back of your bulletin, you can see it. There was a famous song where at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Sorry. First three verses. There was a famous song by Tina Turner. Some of you will remember her. Some of you won't. It's sad to say that nowadays. Who asked the question, what's love got to do with it? And when we think about love, especially love in a pop song, well, all of us have heard them and walked around and sang them. And we think about the love that's in that, it's about that person that puts us over the edge emotionally. It's that person that makes us feel all gooey and squishy inside, and we just can't explain what happened to us. It can take a full-grown man and reduce him to a little puddle in just a little bit of time. Can't think about anything else but that one person. We are totally infatuated with them. And we want to know everything there is about them. The colors they like, the foods that they eat. And most of all, we want to tell everybody in the world about them, regardless if they want to hear about them or not. But we know that this kind of love fades. And eventually you start to see the person for who they really are. We see this in marriage all the time. The first few years are great, and some of you have been married for a while will attest to this. And then one day you wake up and you realize that they squeezed the toothpaste tube from the middle. They put the toilet paper roll on the wrong way. And you start to realize this person that you're married to now has real issues. The question that we're looking at this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, and the question we want to ask is, what does love have to do with it? But we are not talking about love that is described in a pop song. It's much more. When I think about love, I immediately think about my wife and my children. I think about my mother. I think about the rest of my family. I think about the people who are close to me, people I've developed relationships with over the years. I think about the things I love to do and the places that I've had the opportunity to visit, and I've loved being there. On Veterans Day, coming up this weekend, I see all the pictures on Facebook of all the service members and all the people that I served with, and I love each and every one of them, and I think about a lot of them, that through the years I have a special bond with all of them. All service members, even the ones I didn't serve with, it's just a bond you can't explain, but you love them. I even think about stuff I love, like electronics, my cat, and of course my dog, Bo. There are certain times of the day that I love, like the morning. I love the morning, with a good cup of coffee, and especially if there's a little chill in the air, and I especially before everybody gets up in the morning, because as soon as the TV comes on, it's just ruined. And I love to watch the sun pop up through this big oak tree in our backyard that's in our neighbor's yard. But I watch the sun in the wintertime come up through there, and the leaves are all gone, and you can see it. And I just love that whole feeling there. But what does the Bible teach about love? Opening our Bibles, and I hope you have one, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the famous chapter about love. And we find it in a very interesting place. It's tucked in a letter to the church in Corinth that is struggling with selfishness. The members of this church is using the spiritual gifts that Paul has been describing up to this time to elevate themselves above other believers. And some are picking the gifts that get them the most attention. The very gifts that were meant to unite them are starting to divide them. And Paul, in an attempt to unify them and to get them focused on what is important, places this chapter right in the middle of the debate. He starts by saying in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, "If I speak human or angelic language, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods and feed the poor, if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." So let's look at all these phrases that Paul has said here, and let's try to understand what Paul is talking about. If I speak with human or angelic languages, in other words, if I have the most amazing voice that ears have ever heard, and if I can move people with great oratory skill and have not love. If I have the gifted ability to speak in angelic languages and have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal. Just imagine a 3-year-old on the drum set right now. No, exactly. If I have the gift of prophecy and could foretell everything that was about to happen, and I could greatly expound on all the scriptures, or if I could explain every great mystery and clearly where you could understand everything I was saying and have not love. If I had the faith that could move mountains, and if I could make anything happen, nothing was impossible for me, even in an almost miraculous way, but have not love, I gain nothing. If I donate everything I own and give it to the poor and the needy, if I wowed everyone around me with my sacrifice and my charity, even to the point of sacrificing my own life, but do not have love, I gain nothing, and it's all meaningless. What is happening in these verses? It would seem that some of the Corinthian church members were thinking that they could pick and choose their spiritual gifts, and some were speaking in what they called angelic languages or tongues. Some of them thought that they had special gifts of prophecy. Some believed that they could achieve supernatural miracles. Some thought they had gained some special wisdom or knowledge, and some thought they could even sacrifice their lives trying to earn their way. But Paul reminds them that without love, none of it matters. Love was a big deal to Paul. So maybe Paul was talking from a position of experience. When you think about Paul's life and he looks at all these things that he's referencing here, we can think that maybe Paul, who was once an ultra-religious man himself at one time, most of his young life was in pursuit of religion. He went to the best colleges. He sat under the very finest teachers that could be offered at the time. He called himself a Pharisee among the Pharisees. His life was the pursuit of religion, and he had accomplished much in his young career as a Pharisee. Compared with the others around him, he considered himself above them in knowledge and experience. In fact, he said he was blameless in the righteousness of the law. That's his own words out of Philippians. But now, as an apostle, he looks back on his life and he considers what he knew before and the way that he lived trash or garbage compared to the knowledge of knowing Christ. Philippians 3:8, he said this: "More than that, I consider everything to be a loss in view of the supremacy, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I might gain Christ." When we think about this, this can happen to any of us. We can anytime think that we're above other people. We can think that we have some special knowledge, some special ability that makes us more valuable in God's eyes, more religious in other people's eyes. We can fall into this trap of trying to earn our way to heaven by works, or we can start to crave the applause of others. What then is this love that Paul is talking about? I decided to search the Gospels thinking about this love. And I looked up all the times that Jesus mentioned the word love. Not the word loved, but the word just love. In order to try to understand maybe where Paul's view came from. I picked a few of the verses and to kind of give you a broad picture of what Jesus said about love. Starting in Matthew, Jesus talks some 40 times. There's 43 times in the Holman that is translated love. And here's what he said: we must love our neighbors and our enemies. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. If we love others who just love us, that's too easy. Because he says even the pagans do that. That's Matthew 5, 46. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing the verses. We are commanded to love and to love others, love God and to love others. Love the Lord our God with all my strength, all my mind, and all my soul, and love my neighbors and myself. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. He accused the Pharisees of loving to do things that made themselves look good, to purposely act out in order to be recognized. They love the attention, even at the expense of others. Jesus said, where lawlessness is multiplying, love grows cold. Matthew 24, 12. Jesus was critical about the love of money. Luke 16, 13. God loved the world and sent his son, but the world loved darkness. John 3, 16 through 19. We are commanded to love one another. John 16, 35. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. John 4:14-13. The one who does not love me will not keep my words. John 14:24. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. John 15:10. And lastly, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. John 15:9. From these simple sampling of these verses, we can clearly see that Jesus is concerned with our relationship with him and the Father, and he wants us to love others sacrificially and deeply. He also makes it clear that we cannot do it without him. It is impossible. The more people love themselves, the more critical he becomes. And this is especially true if they love themselves at the expense of others, like the Pharisees. Let's turn to another passage to helps explain this better. And I read it at the beginning of the service, and it's 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. First John 4, 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, which means that God poured his wrath out on Jesus Christ in our stead for our sins. He took our punishment for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. John makes it very clear we are to love because God first loved us. We put others first because he put others first. Show me a person who understands what it means to have Christ crucified for their sins, and I'll show you someone who understands love. Do you truly understand what that means? That Jesus Christ died for your sins. E. Stanley Jones shared a story about a government employee in India. His work involved much travel, so he was moving around quite a bit. And he had become unfaithful to his wife. Being a sensitive man, he could not live with himself any longer, and he decided to tell his wife. With agonizing awkwardness, the man divulged the whole story. When his words began to penetrate, the wife turned pale, shook with grief, and collapsed. In that moment, confessed the offender, I saw the meaning of the cross. I saw love crucified by sin. We have all turned from God. All have gone our own way. We have all committed adultery to a faithful and loving God. Only in our case, God did something about it, something that we could not do. God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. God took the initiative. God knew we couldn't stand before him justified in our rebellion, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came humbly, willfully, and joyfully. He lived a life you and I could never live. He lived the perfect, sinless life in complete obedience to the will of the Father. Jesus handed this life, this perfect and sinless life, over to the hands of sinners. Think about that for a moment. He handed a perfect life over to the hands of sinners. To crucify him in order to save sinners. A loving sacrifice. In this way, Jesus, this is the way that he lived. And it's the way that Jesus died, a loving sacrifice. Can we expect to do anything less? What's love got to do with it? It was love that drove Christ into a deep relationship with the Father, dependent and humble. It was love that he poured out his compassion on the poor and the needy. It was love that he taught his disciples. And it was love that hung him on the cross. And it was love that raised him on the third day. This love drove the Apostle Paul, who gave his life, along with all the other apostles. And it is still this love today that we're gathered in this room right now, reading the very letters written by them, so that we might share this love with one another and the world around us. It is out of this love for Christ that drives us to use our gifts to further the kingdom of God and to love those around us deeply. It is Christ who has freed us to love others. God remains in us. His love is perfected in us. Legend has it that there was a wealthy merchant that was traveling through the Mediterranean world, and he was looking for the distinguished Pharisee, Paul. But he encountered Timothy. And Timothy arranged a visit. Paul was at the time a prisoner in Rome. And stepping inside the cell, the merchant was surprised to find a rather old man, physically frail, but whose sincerity and magnetism challenged the visitor. They talked for hours, and finally the merchant left with Paul's blessing. And outside the prison, the concerned man inquired, "Timothy, what is the secret of this man's power? I've never seen anything like it in all my life." "Did you guess?" Timothy replied, "Paul's in love." The merchant looked at him, bewildered. "In love?" "Yes," the missionary answered. "Paul's in love with Jesus Christ." The merchant looked at him even more bewildered. "Is that all?" Smiling, Timothy replied, "That is everything. That is everything." This morning, I want to ask you, do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Are you willing to give your life for him? If you haven't, this morning, I'm going to ask you to give your life to him. And maybe you're sitting here and you've never thought about it in this way. I'm going to ask you to give your life to him if you love him. I pray you would put your faith in Christ and what he's done for you on the cross and what he continues to do. If you are in love with Christ, I pray that this love would be perfected in you. In order, for the only reason that you might tell the world about him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord, and I'm thankful for the life that you've given me. I'm thankful for your grace and your love and your mercy, which I do not deserve any of them. The thought that my sin placed you upon the cross is just too much for me to bear at times. And I pray, Lord, that I would live a life worthy of this calling, of this great love. And I pray, Lord, that you would perfect this love in my heart. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that has never put their faith in Christ, that have never trusted in the love of Christ, I pray this morning as we sing Jesus is tenderly calling, that you would move in their hearts and that you would move them, open their eyes, and I pray that you would save them and that they would place their faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would move in us in such a way that your love would compel us, Lord, to share you with others. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.